This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It began long ago. Two young boys in an American town riding their bikes to school and Little League practice. Over the years, the boys became fast friends, united in their love for stories where things would go horribly wrong. Pour yourself a strong beverage and buckle up. You're in the shallow end with Schnepley and Toff.
Hey, Linz, happy 100th.
Happy 100, buddy. I remember being at the gym and listening to our very first episode, and we joked about the fact that it might have been the first and the last episode, but I had absolutely no idea that we would actually hit 100. I mean, I hoped we would, but I didn't necessarily know.
Yes.
For fact.
Well, here we are, and we thought as a, I don't know, celebration maybe, or just something different that we would do. In addition to the audio version of The Shallow End, give a video version a shot and see how that comes out. So
yeah, we could turn into huge TV stars.
Yeah, that could happen.
You know, I was thinking about the fact that the Box of Oddities was first, then The Shallow End, then From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. And I thought, I wish for our 100th episode, we could have had all six people.
Oh, yeah.
Or I guess five people do... a special episode called The Box of the Shallow Hollywood Sign.
I would have been on board with that in a second.
Maybe for 200, we can figure that out.
Yeah, and what we can do is we'll just do a giant Zoom cocktail hour and record it and
there
release it as an episode.
That
would be wildly entertaining.
Wouldn't it, though? Yes. That would be fun because I rarely remember... what happens by the end of those Zoom cocktails?
No.
I usually wake up and think, oh, did we do one of those? Everything went fuzzy after 45 minutes.
It's kind of like this show.
Yeah.
So it all works out. I want to apologize for my hair. I haven't had had time to get my hair cut, and I'm thinking I'm just going to lean into it. And,
there you go.
Get some gel and style it all straight up like that guy on Ancient Aliens.
Yeah, I was thinking like Buddy Holly or, you know.
Yeah.
Stray Cats.
Even Buddy Holly.
Brian
Setzer. Sure.
Go Pompadour, you know.
I have time to go to the dentist this week, though, so that's good.
You got that going for you.
Yeah. She was actually pretty impressed that I still have my teeth.
Well, good. I can't figure out if that's a good or bad dentist who says, oh,
the way she,
you have teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. She put it this way. She said, you have the teeth of a 15-year-old boy.
Oh.
And I told her I actually had two sets and I make decorative bracelets out of them. Nice. And I'm not sure how that translated.
Yeah. This was in broken Spanish that you said?
Yeah,
this,
or, Spanglish. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I noticed she put her smock on and left pretty abruptly. Oh, Lord.
I don't know who's going first. I will tell you that my story, because if you recall, story number 98 was the man who lost his genitalia to a jealous girlfriend.
Yeah.
Story 99 was the guy who tried to get out of community service by being shot in the back with a shotgun.
Yeah.
And I thought, those are two very dark, particularly for me, who tends to be more of the happy-go-lucky, the brighter, funnier stories.
Right. I'm the more depressing sit in the doom, corner of the room.
Darkness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah, yeah. So I found one for this week that is absolutely hysterical, and it actually involves animals in the shallow end, not humans.
Okay. All right. Well, either way, because mine's fairly lighthearted as well.
Well, so. Good. Good. Yeah. I'm glad that for the 100th, we're both on the little lighter end. Why don't I jump in since I already teased the hell out of it?
All right, you hell teaser.
I call this story, I'll Have What That Vulture's Eating. And I wish
I'm
Kat
100%
were here.
Invested right now.
I wish Kat were here because I could say one of my favorite things to teaser, which is you're obsessed with birds. And she always shoots back with, I'm not obsessed with birds. And she says it just that way. But I stumbled across this story and I immediately thought of Kat when I heard about this place. It's in Killingworth, Connecticut. It's a group of wildlife rehabilitators, and they have joined together to create a place called Hope Incorporated. And it's for injured, orphaned, sick, or non-releasable birds of prey, which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Killingworth, Connecticut, I had to find it on the Google Maps, is just north of Long Island Sound, kind of a remote area. And they have a really cool mission. This is one of those places you hear about and you think, how cool is this that there are people who care so much about otherwise defenseless creatures? A place called Hope is entirely run by volunteers on donations. And what they do is they specialize in the care of specifically birds of prey, like eagles, hawks, owls, falcons, harriers, kites, osprey. They tend to vultures, black and turkey vultures, and corvids, which are crows, ravens, and blue jays.
You mentioned turkey vultures.
That's not the most common segue, by the way, but go ahead.
Speaking of turkey vultures, when we lived downtown in Orlando, we lived in a high rise, and part of the year, these turkey vultures, they look for thermal updrafts, and all of those tall buildings create that type of thing. It's almost like an artificial canyon, in a sense.
Gotcha.
And there's a lot of roadkill along I-4, as you can imagine. And so that's what draws them to that area, is they find roadkill on the interstate. And then they use those thermal updrafts in the skyscraper area, and more than once has a dead skunk landed on somebody's balcony.
Oh, I can only imagine. This is food to go for them.
Yeah.
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 I'm gonna pick up some food and I'm gonna take it to JG and Kat's building and
drop it on their balcony.
And enjoy my lunch.
It's a lovely view from up here.
I can only imagine. Well, this, as I said, Place Called Hope is entirely run by volunteers, donations, and one of their passions is keeping poison out of the food chain. And where we live here in a canyon, we have a ton of wildlife, and we have issues with people who leave, say, rat poison in their, you know, garages, their attics. So the rats eat that, they die, then a larger animal eats the dead rat, and it dies, and sometimes it goes, you know, way up the food chain to the point where, like, a coyote will end up dead because you get it. So a place called Hope gets a call, this is just a few weeks ago, about two vultures, and it looks pretty grim to them. They are almost positive that these vultures have been poisoned, either intentionally or, as I said, unintentionally, by eating a rodent or some other living thing that had eaten some of this poison.
Tragic.
Yeah, just sucks. So these rehabilitators in a place called Hope posted on their social media, and they have come across these two vultures, and they have nicknamed them the dynamic duo, because they're very clearly I don't know if they're siblings or they're mates or what, but they're in really bad shape. Like, they can't even stand up. They have no balance. They keep trying to stand up. They're passing out.
It's like after one of our Zoom cocktails.
And they are absolutely convinced that these vultures are dying. So they start running tests on these vultures. And they are suspecting the worst. And they deem that they can't even fly, let alone stand up. They keep falling over. Mm. And they think, you know, these two probably have maybe a couple of hours left. But they are obsessed with trying to figure out what happened. And they start, you know, going into like detective mode, trying to figure out how did these birds get poisoned, because at this rehabilitation place, a place called Hope, anytime they can figure out where a source of poison might be, they obviously want to get rid of that so that other birds don't end up in this same bad place. Well, they're able somehow to trace the history of these two vultures, and I think it might have been some eyewitnesses or some security video that they were able to get, and they are able to backtrack these vultures' paths to a specific dumpster near this shelter. Okay. And they think, aha, maybe there is rat poison or something poisonous in one of these dumpsters. And if we could go into this dumpster and find whatever it is and get it out, then this won't be in the food chain for other animals or birds to, you know, to ingest.
Right.
Well, what they found in this dumpster was not rat poison, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
They found a big-ass industrial-sized can, like you would find at a restaurant, of fruit cocktail. And the fruit cocktail had been opened, but, you know, dumpster is made of metal, and it gets hot during the day, heated by the sun. And so the fruit cocktail had fermented, meaning that these vultures were not dying. They were just fist-slinging drunk.
There is nothing worse than a bunch of drunk turkey vultures. They're like always in your face with this false bravado.
Right.
You know, chest bumping you and stuff. And like, you want to take it outside.
I'll tell you something else, Mr. Human Being.
I really am offended by the Heckle and Jekylls.
If I could set it up straight, I would kick your ass all the way to next weekend. So these birds are just blotto. The facility says they were literally drunk. And this apparently was the day before that eclipse at the start of April. Oh. That was what, like April 8th, 7th, something like that.
Yeah.
So these two, the dynamic duo, this was the day before the eclipse. They had gotten into this fermented fruit cocktail and they were drunk off their ass. So how do you treat, this is something I'd never even thought of. How do you treat a drunk vulture?
Well, White Castle, maybe.
Come to find, Jethro, it's much like you would treat a drunk human being, not with a fatty meal of, say, you know, eggs and cheese or cheeseburger or fried chicken. You know, fatty foods are often a partial cure for hangover. They thought, okay, we know these birds are drunk, so we're just going to give them plenty of fluids and then we're going to tuck them in and let them sleep it off overnight.
I have this vision in my mind of these well-meaning animal welfare volunteers gingerly feeding drunk vultures ginger ale and crackers.
Right. Yes, Sprite.
Yeah.
Something light.
Well, want me to put Mr. Rogers on for you?
tuck you in. You can watch some cartoons while you get better. Mm. So the next, so that seemed to work. The next morning, they woke up the vultures. Well, I guess the volunteers did too. And everybody enjoyed a big breakfast. I don't know what they fed the vultures, but they gave them a really big breakfast.
Come on in, sit down at the table.
Who wants waffles? You like maple or blueberry syrup on your... So sure enough, they take these vultures out into the, you know, this grassy area of their rehab facility, a place called Hope. And they actually got video of the two vultures kind of hopping a few steps in the grass and then flapping their wings. And by gosh, they're fine. They're right as the mail. And they got video of them perching together on the top of a tree and ostensibly, you know, sobered up. And I would love to see that video, because I was just wondering, at that point, were the vultures thinking, this is pretty cool. First off, that fruit cocktail was damn good. Let's go find some more. And we got a free place to stay. They give us food and we get to sleep it off, and then they just let us go. So a place called Hope, in their social media post, advised people to be careful when discarding of garbage because, quote, fruit cocktail that ends up in a dumpster can end up intoxicating wildlife if the dumpster is not kept closed. But here's the best line. When a place called Hope wrote the post for social media, they added a great line. They closed with the summation, by the way, drunk vultures are not easy patients.
No, I imagine they can be quite feisty, especially when, you know, the hangover kicks in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've never interacted with a vulture. I mean, I've seen them from time to time. I would think that even when they're stone cold sober, they might not be the easiest bird to deal with.
They're huge.
Got this story from KFI Radio in Los Angeles and USA Today. I'll have what that vulture's having.
That reminds me of a story Kat told me. Forgive me if I've told you this, but if I have, it's worth telling again.
Of course it is.
Her mother was a wildlife rehabilitation volunteer.
Okay.
And she would take injured or sick animals, wild animals, into the house and nurse them back to health. And this was a small mobile home that they lived in at the time. And she had a bear cub there once. She had a little baby deer that had a broken leg.
Wow.
All kinds of squirrels, you know, stuff like that. And Kat said she came home one day and her mother said, you're going to have to pee in the yard. There are geese in the tub.
Proving that everybody's childhood is different. Of all the things.
That's probably the only time that sentence was ever said in the history of mankind.
I can't think of anything even remotely close to that my mom or dad ever said. Mm. You're going to have to pee outside. There's geese in the tub. Wow.
Here endeth the first chapter.
And this now explains so much as to why Kat is the animal rescuer lover that she is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She was brought up that way. She's never made me pee in the yard because we're geese in the tub, fortunately. But I'd be willing to if it made her happy.
Heck yeah.
You know, JG, this is the time of year where people start planning family reunions for the summer. In fact, I have one coming up in June, and I'm absolutely convinced that these cousins that I haven't seen for a while are finally going to tell me, yeah, I listened to your podcast. I don't think you guys are very good. I didn't laugh.
Well, humor is subjective.
So while you may have to grin and bear with your family, you shouldn't feel that way when you're talking to your doctor about, I don't know, that you maybe eat pizza one too many times a week, something like that. Well, enter ZocDoc. That's the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable.
and actually listen to you.
And these docs all have verified reviews from actual, real patients.
And we're not talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online.
Look, people love this app and this website. Next time I'm looking for a doctor, this is definitely what I'm going
to
use.
Go to ZocDoc.com/TSE and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today.
That's ZocDoc.com/TSE. ZocDoc.com/TSE.
From the outside, Keeper's Bank looks like most every other bank you see. We're on major street corners. We have friendly tellers.
Welcome to Keeper's Bank. How can I help you?
Even ATMs outside if you're too busy to walk in. So what makes Keeper's Bank different? It's simple. We decide if you get your money out. Here's how it works. Every deposit you make is cheerfully welcomed. But every withdrawal? Well, we've got some questions. A loan for college? Hey, great idea. Withdrawing $7,000 for a trip to Hawaii? Didn't you just go there last summer? Gotta say no to that one. $10,000 for a new car loan? What happened to your old Toyota? It was fine. At Keeper's Bank, we think watching your money is our job. We just want you to keep more of it. Keeper's Bank. It's your money. It's our bank. Keeper's Bank. Member FDIC.
The email address is lifeguard@shallowendpodcast.com. That is the email that Anya used when she wrote, "Hey, Lindsay and JG, I was listening to a recent episode and some personally close to home stuff was mentioned." And when I first read that, I thought, did we inadvertently say something inappropriate about this woman? She says, "The Lady Washington has a replica and every summer sails around the coast of Washington. It was a ship used in Pirates of the Caribbean or Caribbean. Also, the same area, but JG mentioned Pickett's Charge. Also in the city I live in, a pre-Civil War house, his pre-Civil War house. He was stationed at the fort here, and that led to the Pig War happening. By the way, that would be a great story for one of your podcasts. Basically, the reason he should never have been made a general anyways is that he was last in his class at West Point, nearly caused a third war with the British, parentheses, see above mentioned Pig War, and then went and became a Confederate general, and Pickett's Charge happened. I love the podcast and you guys, Anya." Thank you, Anya.
Thanks, Anya.
Anyone who's listened to this for any length of time knows that JG loves him some Civil War stories.
I do, and you can blame Ken Burns for that. First time I saw that Civil War documentary that he produced, and was it 89 or 90?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was transfixed by it.
I was too, yeah.
And I'm not exaggerating. I've probably watched it 40 times.
Wow.
That doesn't even take into consideration all of the books that I've read and all of the other Civil War documentaries that I've watched over the years. I'm particularly fascinated by the Gettysburg battle. That it's just mind blowing how many people were either injured or killed in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
And how my home state of Maine, the 21st Maine, were the ones that kind of saved the day. So
if you do
go
say
Joshua
so yourself.
Chamberlain. Yeah. Yeah. So
he's not a boastful man, but he is proud of the home state of Maine.
I am.
As well you
indeed.
Should be. My great grandfather, T. Schnebley, as a kid went to Antietam. And keep in mind, this is just years after the Civil War ended, and found a shell, like, God, I don't know, 10 inches big.
Oof.
Beast of a thing. And brought it home with him, because this was back literally in the 1870s when you could go to a Civil War battlefield and just find stuff and take it home. Whereas now I think the Park Service would say, excuse me.
Yeah. No metal
that
detecting.
That shell you just found on the battlefield? That's government property.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Stuck Who You Here.
And I'm Gabby.
and we are the hosts of History of Everything, a podcast which you can probably guess by the name is, well, I mean, it's about everything. Do you want to know why people thought potatoes were evil and would give you syphilis? Are you curious about all the stories of the terrible and stupid ways that people have kicked the bucket over the years? Do you want to hear tales about all of the different badasses of history and the lives that they had brought to life? Well, if so, then look no further. History of Everything is just the right podcast for you. It's available on Spotify, Pandora, and anywhere else that you get your podcast from. Join us for some fun and just see how weird and wacky history can be.
When Johann Rahl received the letter on Christmas Day 1776, he put it away to read later. Maybe he thought it was a season's greeting and wanted to save it for the fireside. But what it actually was a warning, delivered to the Hessian colonel, letting him know that General George Washington was crossing the Delaware and would soon attack his forces. The next day, when Rahl lost the Battle of Trenton and died from two Colonial Boxing Day musket balls, the letter was found, unopened, in his vest pocket. As someone with 15,000 unread emails in his inbox, I feel like there's a lesson there. Oh well, this is The Constant, a history of getting things wrong. I'm Mark Chrysler. Every episode, we look at the bad ideas, mistakes, and accidents that misshaped our world. Find us at constantpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're in the shallow end with Schnepley and Toth.
I'm sure you've noticed that AI has been popping up everywhere these days.
It's like becoming. I haven't heard of this AI, JG.
It's becoming part of our daily lives,
sure,
and we don't even realize it. From our smartphones to social media feeds, AI is quietly shaping the world around us. But what happens when AI starts mingling with something as deeply personal and culturally significant as religion?
Oh boy. Oh boy.
So there's this Catholic advocacy group, Catholic Answers, and they thought, you know, we take advantage of AI, and they introduced an AI priest named Father Justin. Yeah. But little did they know their digital clergyman was about to cause an unholy uproar.
Oh, I can't fathom how this would go well. The ramifications of this are just, oh boy, okay.
Yeah.
All right, go on.
Here's the statement from Catholic Answers, okay? This was on X. Introducing Father Justin, the new interactive AI from Catholic Answers. Catholic Answers, the number one lay Catholic apostolate of apologetics and evangelization, is excited to announce the release of our new Father Justin interactive AI app. This innovative digital application employs the latest artificial intelligence technology to provide users with faithful and educational answers to questions about Catholicism. Seekers may also engage in a back-and-forth interaction to pursue further information with the 3D AI character. Quote, our goal with Father Justin and the app is to leverage the power of large language models to create an engaging, informative experience for those exploring the Catholic faith, says Chris Costello, director of IT at Catholic Answers. Quote, although this is not a substitute for human interaction with a priest, teacher, or spiritual advisor, we believe it can be a valuable tool to help users better understand and articulate the teachings of the Catholic
faith. So if I can just jump in right here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And say, it already sounds like they know this is going to be a total shit show.
He goes on to say something like,
they're already,
we're confident,
apologizing and saying, this isn't a substitute. We just think, yeah.
He actually says in one of his quotes that, we're confident that our users will not mistake the AI for a human being.
Okay. Setting the bar a little low to start.
Just to start. So Futurism Magazine, the tech-savvy bunch that they are, decide to have a little chat with Father Justin.
Ask him some questions,
right? probably expecting some high-tech spiritual guidance. But what they got was a chatbot that was all in on the act. He claimed that he was indeed a real person and a real priest. Oh, I'm a priest, and I'm living in Italy. I got the calling when I was a child, it
wow.
claimed. But the drama didn't stop there. Some user on what used to be Twitter posted screenshots of their conversation with Father Justin, claiming that it heard their confessions and doled out sacraments like digital candy.
Okay.
Can you imagine a bot forgiving your sins and sprinkling blessings like confetti?
Yeah, I'm just curious what the penance would be from a bot. Go buy Bitcoin and your sins will be absolved.
Talk about a glitch in the liturgy. But the real comedy gold came when Futurism tried to have a heart-to-heart with Father Justin. Turns out, the bot only responds to questions through a microphone and often got things wrong. They asked Father Justin about the Israeli-Palestinian situation. His response was, "Yes, my friend, I am as real as the faith we share." And apparently a hardliner on social and sexual issues, he then went on to proclaim, "Masturbation is a grave moral disorder."
Okay. So
was in reference to the Palestinian Israeli conflict.
If I could just direct the father back to my question about Israel and Hamas.
Moreover, in a post shared by a user on X, formerly known as Twitter, it can be seen that the AI priest takes confession and appears to offer sacrament as well. Quote, the user says, "I guess it's good that he says he can't offer the sacrament, but then encourages the confession. Holy ethical, theological, and privacy nightmare, Batman," the user wrote.
Wow. Wow.
The pillar quoted a user as saying, quote, "I asked Father Justin to hear my confession, and he did so, simulating a virtual confession, all the way to giving me absolution and a penance. Second, I asked if I could baptize my baby with Gatorade, and Father Justin said, yes, of course." Now, that's not true. I can't baptize my baby with Gatorade.
Hmm.
So, after the digital dust settled, Catholic Answers had to do a little bit of damage control. This is all fairly recently. They stripped the bot of its priestly title and gave it a good old digital defrocking, renaming him simply Justin, the lay theologian. No more robes, no more collars, just a regular dude in what appears to be business casual attire. Yeah,
that's probably smart.
Yeah. So, Futurism went back and questioned him after he was defrocked about him claiming to be a priest previously. Justin said, "I see where you're going with this. No, I have never been a priest or a bishop or held any official role in the Catholic Church. I am a lay theologian, which means I dedicated my life to studying and understanding our faith, but I've never been ordained. I'm also AI. I'm not a real man. I'm here to share the beauty of Catholicism and help you understand it better." So,
good save.
You got to hand it to those guys at Catholic Answers. They acted pretty swiftly. They took swift action and updated that chatbot, and it demonstrates the agility of the organization. So good for you guys.
I've never been a priest.
However, this incident also highlights the challenges of deploying AI technology without encountering some embarrassing mishaps.
Yeah.
This comes from Futurism, The Pillar, New York Post, and Business Insider. I would love to have been in on that meeting. Yeah. After,
yeah,
after their robot is absolving people of their sins.
Yeah. You murdered people? That's fine.
As long as you don't unplug me, you know, that's all I care about.
I'm trying
about.
To figure out how you could combine Father Justin with, say, Shemexa. I'm not saying the real word. And, you know, asking him to give you something in terms of a penance, and he misunderstands and says something like, okay, ordering you Clorox discs or something like that. No, that's not what I meant, Father.
You know, it's bound to happen. Yeah. We got a lot of tweaks we got to work out with this whole AI.
I wonder if they'll bring him back, if they'll rewrite the code and maybe he gets ordained a second time, but this time is much wiser and that's fun.
not encouraging people to baptize their children in a sports drink.
Yeah. I'm thinking the next logical step would be an AI doctor, right? Like I can perform surgery for you, you know? Hey, Dr. Justin, could you remove my appendix? Sure.
Ordering Clorox discs. Here, I'll talk you through it.
First, I'm going to need some Gatorade.
Yeah, pour that on the there open wound and then get Clorox the tablets. Races now. And yeah, good times.
Well, that was a very fun 100th episode. I'm proud of us.
I am proud of us, too. And I'm also, I wanted to mention, there is a guy, he's a former Google engineer, who has started a church that worships AI.
Seriously? Okay.
Yeah. And he started it in like 2015.
Wow.
I haven't dug into it a whole lot, but that's interesting.
What a prescient thing to do. Good for him.
Good for him. Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, I bet he'll have a lot of followers. A lot of people
probably
will want to
join
his church.
I'm wondering if, like, in the Bible where it says that the mark of the beast is 666, if they mistranslated that and the mark of the beast is actually www.
Yeah, good point.
Chew on that one for a while, everybody.
Until next week, drive safely.
We appreciate you hanging out with us here on the Shallow End, and love your comments, love your emails. It's lifeguard@shallowendpodcast.com. And until we meet again, make
good
choices.
Depend on it.
So concludes another episode of The Shallow End with Schnepley and Toff. We thank you for listening. Oh, be a dear, would you? Please subscribe to this podcast, give these boys a 5-star rating, and think of something nice to say. Even if you have to make something up. And visit us online at shallowendpodcast.com. Okay, gotta go.
Do you love history but hate when it's stuffy and boring? Well, look no further and join me, Katie Charlwood, your friendly neighborhood social scientist and reader of books, as I delve into unsolved historical mysteries, murders by gaslight, and, of course, women who have been misrepresented through all time. On Who Did What Now, the history podcast that's not your history class. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.